We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go get your popcorn ready.
GPR, welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. This is your host Hatch with my boy.
Yep. Your other host is in the building. This is T.O.
in the building, ladies and gentlemen. We got a T.O. and we have a D.C. Donovan Carter's in the building, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, brother?
Let's go. I'm blessed, man. Thank y'all for having me on. I really appreciate this.
There
man.
It is. All good.
I like the vibe already. I like popcorn, so you know.
Oh, well, then let's go. Get your popcorn.
It's edible.
This is not for staging, right? We actually eat on the show, you know.
So. It ain't stale. We good.
It ain't stale. We starting somewhere. Yeah. What's been going on, though? What's new with you? I know you say that's got them on Ballers, right?
Yeah.
That's done, because I know people keep coming up to you asking you, you know, when's Ballers going to have a season six or whatever, but you know, that's done.
So it's crazy, because it went off in 19, but people will still ask me, some of my other co-stars all the time, and I was like, it's been 3 years since it's been off,
but I mean,
you know, it's all love. I just appreciate people just liking the show, watching it, because sometimes you watch stuff, it's not good. Or they don't like your character, so you know you get slack either way. But it's been love, man. But right now, man, just been auditioning, looking for the next opportunity. You know, just networking out here in L.A. That's the name of the game. Networking, meeting folks. I invested in a restaurant a few years back.
Okay.
So it's finally open. It's called The Hideaway, man.
The Hideaway.
Yeah, it's on Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive.
Yeah, you look like you ain't missing no meals, boy. I see you. You ain't missing no meals.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all got to come through, though, man.
That's what's up. What type of food?
What kind of food?
Mexican food. Family style. You know, open till 2 on the weekends. We're going to start doing, like, music and stuff too on the weekend.
Oh, because you're trying to create a vibe. That's what you're trying to do. I already know.
Yeah, it's a cool vibe, man. Like I like it because the service good, the food good. Anybody come in, you know what I'm saying? If you T.O. or if you somebody off the street, you know, treat you all the same.
Okay.
Okay, regular job. I'm trying to figure out why I wasn't on Ballers. That's
I'm trying to figure out too.
Man, I'm trying to figure out.
Because you ain't no baller. How about that? Yeah, that's why you wasn't on Ballers.
And it's so funny because a lot of people were asking me, dude, why don't you get on Ballers? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really know what the requirements are. I don't know what the criteria is.
Right.
I mean, because then, you know, obviously there was a lot of celebrities and a lot of former football players and some active guys that were on the show. So how did you guys get, you know, obviously these guys doing cameos or what have you? Did you guys just, it depends on the episodes or whatever you guys were scripting, whoever fit the description of the characters. How did you guys do that?
I think that's always a gap between, because I feel like a lot of players, like, they wanted to be on there, but they just didn't, like you said, didn't know how to go about it. And then the NFL at first wasn't the most supportive of the show because they just
went the opposite way.
Yeah, they just didn't know because you had that show Players. Everybody talk about
Playmakers back in the day.
But you know, I think once they saw what it was, and you know, we weren't really bashing the NFL. You know, we was just kind of trying to tell our side of the truth.
Yeah. Right. But, so what do you think that was? Why do you think they weren't as supportive of the show in the beginning and then kind of jumped on board? Where was the transition?
I think just the relationship, like, because, you know, Hard Knocks is on HBO. Mm-hmm. So I think we kind of used that relationship that I already had. And then, you know, just kind of just communicating with them. Mm-hmm. They got to see some of the scripts. We had Rashard Mendenhall. He was a writer on the show.
Shout out to Rashard, man.
Shout out to my guy Rashard, man. He a good dude, man. Yep. Different dude, but man, you know, good dude, man. Yeah. And we had like other people, you know, kind of helping out, giving they two cents about it. So I think once they saw, like, who was involved, they kind of, you know, let their guard down. Yeah. And then they got to watch it. And then they kind of had they little two cents as well on their script in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And after a while, they just like, all right, they ain't talking too crazy.
So I know it's in the can. I know it's in the can. But is there any way it comes back? Because you know there's always some type of, like, you know, reunion shows and things of that nature. Like Friends, like they shut it down, then they try to bring it back.
Right, right. You know, you never know. You see, like you said, now you see these spinoffs.
Right.
Like I just watched Cobra Kai, and, you know, that's from The Karate Kid. And that's years from now. So you never know, man. Dwayne, he just so busy.
With the XFL.
He ain't coming back because he got his schedule full for 5 years. Right, right. We know
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's tough, man. So, I mean, you never know. I mean, we had a good time. I mean, he gave us 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, HBO, to be on there 5 years, man, is a blessing. So, you know, I'm ready for whatever. If they want to, if they don't, you know, either or, you know, I'm just glad to have been a part of it. Yeah. And, it was a blessing, man. God is good.
Yeah, so tell us, what did that show do for you? Well, like, you know, what did you think? Like, what did it set you up for? What did you use the experience for being on that show to now where you are?
Yeah, it set me up, man, for everything, man, to be with y'all gentlemen right here, to just meet so many different people, to, you know, man, get some money in my pocket, first of all.
Absolutely. You got to get that paper. You got to secure the bag.
Yeah, got to, man. You know, I came from football. I played at UCLA.
Right,
started playing when I was 9, 10 years old. So my goal was to be Vernon in real life. So that didn't happen. And then, you know,
Vernon Littlefield.
Yeah, Vernon Littlefield, man. So it was all kind of full circle for me to get a chance, you know, to not play in the NFL, but to pretend to be someone in the NFL.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There we go. You can now be who you really want to be. You can go
to
the greatest show, dog. And now you can really be a football player.
Get him out of here.
And a good one.
You can be anything you want.
You can be a great football player and become a Hall of Fame receiver.
I am a Hall of Famer. You know what? You know, I'm definitely a Hall of Famer. In my own eyes.
It's all good. We all Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, at one point.
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not.
So let's go back to the UCLA career, right?
Yeah.
You're getting playing well, obviously, right? You're playing at UCLA, one of the biggest schools in the, you know, in the country, right? You're living your life. You're in Beverly Hills, California.
Man.
Right? But your dream at the moment was still to go to the NFL.
Yes.
When you were at UCLA, right?
Yes.
Now, when was the moment like, okay, I'm not going to go to the NFL, so now I want to get into acting? Or was it always, I want to get into acting, I really don't care about the NFL?
Yeah, it was all football for me. Like, just, I was locked in. I mean, I always enjoyed TV, watching movies growing up. But, you know, with our schedules in football, you just can't do nothing else. You can't do nothing else. And, see, and then now you got name, image, and likeness. You know, you could do different things. But when I was in school, football just took over everything. I did take some film classes just for fun as an elective. But I didn't major or minor in anything. And then it wasn't until after I got cut and then I'm back home on the couch. And then I'm like, man.
So you went to the Raiders, right?
Yeah, I went to the Raiders for a mini camp, for the rookie tryout.
Okay.
Went up there, you know, competed, did the best I could do. It's tough because you just in helmets. And they say you can't do nothing. You just got to get off the ball. So I couldn't really show, like, too much. I just had to show my knowledge of the plays.
So that was a tryout?
Yeah, that was a tryout. Yeah, I was up there for 3 days. Yeah,
that mini camp in May or whatever.
Yeah. And then the coach brought us all together, you know, thanks but no thanks. And then I was back home, you know, trying to figure out my life. And I got my degree in history, but You don't want to graduate.
Playing at UCLA, what are some notable names so people can, like, you know, really kind of familiarize themselves, like, around the time that you played?
I played with Eric Kendrick, Anthony Barr, Dayton Jones.
Had on the show, Anthony Barr was on the show. Yeah. Shout out to Barr.
Man, shout out Bizzle, I played with Jonathan Franklin. Mm-hmm. He was a running back. He got hurt. He worked for the Rams now. Brett Hundley. Right.
Was Darnay there yet?
That's my little homie. He wasn't there yet.
He's coming the following year.
He was younger, Him and, like, Miles Jack. And Kenny Young and Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark, they
was all behind me, man. But, you know, we all like, you know, it's all a brotherhood always. When you're there, you're not there. We all cheer for each other, root each other on.
What's some crazy nickname for some of the guys on the team?
Man, I think
I knew my nickname would be. Come on, man, you
Snacks. My boy called me Bundles. He used to call
Bundles?
Me Bundles.
Bundles,
yeah. Yeah.
Why but Bundles?
I don't know. I try to flip it. I'm like, Bundles of cash, you know?
Right, right, right. Right. Something positive that you like.
Yeah, we try to flip it. We had a...
Shout out to Bundles in the building.
You know, we had some people breast thanks, you know, always, you know, dragon breath.
Yeah, of course.
Dragon, right here.
Yeah.
Dragon breath.
Dragon breath. I don't even know.
Yeah, y'all man, you know, you always clown it. Like,
yeah, that's what you do.
Like, and that was the funny part. I was always like, you know, you always had to come alert because at any point, you know, you wearing something crazy or your hair crazy.
You got to be ready.
You got to be ready. So I always was joking. So people always was like, man, you funny. Like, you should be on TV.
Right.
But, I, you know, it's like, you like, man, whatever.
So
man.
That was kind of the start of it. Huh?
Yeah, so when it happened, a lot of people, like, they were surprised, but they wasn't surprised.
Wasn't surprised. Right.
They just were surprised of, like, how much, you know, because you say you on TV, they just think like, oh, I got
you did a quick commercial.
Quick little cameo.
You did a commercial. You was a truck driver in an F-150.
Or you blink. Even my daddy's like, if I blink, am I going to miss you?
Right.
I'm like, nah, Pop, I think I got some good parts. But you never know. They film it, and then they edit it, and you think
you think your good scene was your Oscar award winning scene, they put it on the floor.
Yeah, they put it
edit
away.
You out.
Like, but yeah, most people, they was like, man, you didn't tell me like you in the show.
You are the show,
yeah,
right?
I was like, you know, I knew y'all was gonna watch it. You know, get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes,
so
sir.
It's like, yeah, because some people like get into acting and then they, like you said, they may have a cameo role and then mm-hmm. you know they're like you're actually casted and you're on the show. You're a regular
for years.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean.
This is my first time ever. Like, I never auditioned before. My first time ever acting, like all that. So it was a blessing. I'd audition like for 10 months. Three months, 10 times.
Wow.
They definitely hazed me a little bit. But it was worth it, though. It was exciting. It was
nerve-wracking. So let me go back to your first audition, the first day you auditioned. That feeling in the first day you went to Raiders minicamp, that feeling. Compare those two feelings.
Man, that's a good question. I think more football's, you know, more familiar.
Because you've been doing that. Yeah, you've been doing that.
Yeah, but it was just different. You know, you walk in and, you know, you in the Raiders facility. And
right.
I mean, I didn't see, like, I was just with the rookies, so I didn't get to see, like, you know, the big-time players
yet. Right,
but, you know, you sit in locker and, you know,
the mystique excited. Of the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah, you excited. You're like, all right, you know, this football. Just go out there and just play, like what I've been doing as a kid. But going in there, it was just – I mean, I guess the first audition, it was different because it was just with the casting – it was just with the casting directors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was still nerve-wracking. I mean, I auditioned a little bit for commercials, but, you know, going there, you know, got to say lines because I literally just knew my lines.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know what the other person was saying. I'm just
– Yeah, you're
I'm
just waiting for them to
I'm
end.
I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, so you
can – I'm like, oh, it's my turn. It's my turn.
You amateur.
But then after I'm looking at the list, I'm looking at seeing, like all the people that was auditioning. I'm seeing, like, Sean Merriman and all these, you know, all these other names that I recognize. And I was like, oh, this is
real.
Yeah, this is big time.
So everybody's in this space that you probably didn't know that they were kind of doing the same or interested in the same thing that you're doing.
And then later on, like, time will come and it'll look like, you know, this room and it'll be like all these other people, like the producers.
The execs come in,
the execs. And that's when I kind of got a little bit more nervous.
A little spooked.
But then I'm like, you know, like, I didn't play football in front of
thousands.
You know, thousands of people.
Thousands of people.
Like, I don't know, you know, I don't know these people.
You know how that kind of, you know, depart yourself from that and go to this space where you can just focus.
Yeah, I had to. I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But I had to figure it out quick. Only person I recognized was Peter Berg.
And Peter that's Berg, shout out to Peter Berg. Yeah,
yeah,
good
man.
Dude, man.
Come on the show,
dude.
Peter.
Man, yeah, got to, man. Is. Peter's crazy. He different.
Yeah, yeah.
He different, man. But good dude. I recognize him. But everybody was, like, real, like, supportive. They kind of knew my situation. So they was, like, real patient with me.
Right.
And you could kind of tell when people, like, rooting for you, too. Because when the Raiders, I could tell, like, it wasn't no love. Like, I was just
you just there.
You just one of many.
Yeah, I'm just there. So there I could kind of tell, like, okay, I'm getting a chance. But, you know, I'm all about – competition and competing.
I was asking that first question of people auditioning, leaving sports, because we think sports is so physical, right? And then you get to this, you know, this acting thing where you don't get to be physical. You don't get to show them how strong or fast you are. It's all got to be here.
It's mental and
yeah, and you know,
and
inside.
Heart, too. Yeah,
what was your first audition? You ever went on audition? What was your first audition? Mine was Love and Basketball. That's the first audition.
Oh,
I
don't know what it.
And I killed it.
Did you have to audition for it? Because he was in Any Given Sunday, right?
Nah, they knew I was a natural.
He was just a football player.
Nah,
he wasn't a natural.
Nah, yeah, that was like the first real like movie.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know who Oliver Stone was.
Wow.
when I first did it.
Right,
right. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't know the directors. I knew Jamie, you know.
Right, yeah. And I remember being in L.A. and we were down at USC on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jamie was down there. He was, you know, he was Willie Beeman. You know, he was throwing around. And then, I ended up being on the show. And then we had a dinner later that night. And that's when I met Oliver Stone. And I had heard the name. And then, obviously, you know, you start hearing people like, yo, this is like, he's the big deal. You know what
he's
I mean?
The real he's, deal.
Right. Yeah. Like, he's like these big directors nowadays. Yeah. And so, yeah, so I was just kind of just overwhelmed. So I didn't really know exactly what I was doing. It was like, okay, just tell me where I need to be. That's where I
should
be.
Show up.
Right. And then I went to end up going to Texas. And then that was actually my first time, I think, being in Texas Stadium, too, before I actually played there.
That's funny.
And then I had played there then because I remember they had, like I said, just understanding how movies work. Like, they literally, like, they refaced the whole locker room and the tunnel and everything. And I'm like, yo.
Ain't this the Cowboys?
Right. But they, like, again, like, you know, they painted over everything.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. This is what they do?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So
everybody got a job. It's crazy.
Everybody got a job, yeah, right?
But I do remember going somewhere. I don't know what the audition was, but I remember, like, going in. I remember this little scene, the little setup. People sitting at the desk, you know what I mean? You looking and you go in, and like I said, you write your name down, you know, when you get there, this and that and the other. Then, you know, like you said, you look on a list, you see some familiar names with the set. With
you're
the
like,
parts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so he going to my spot. Wait a minute.
Right. We're both going for the same character.
Yeah.
So I go in, like I said, for me, it was a little overwhelming for me because I'm like, regardless of how many people I played in, this is unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
So I go in and they just sitting at the desk looking at you.
They do your
paper.
Do your thing.
Yeah, and then so I was a little nervous, but you know, it's you know. Yeah.
I just like to hear that perspective from you know, because we're so confident when we're on the field.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But now we have to do something that, like, I heard another one of your interviews. You said you're on set with people who've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
20 years, 25 years, and you're like, I've been doing this for 3 months.
Yeah.
But you fell into your character, so, you know, it all worked out.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm going in. Everybody know me as T.O.
But you can't be T.O.
Right,
you
exactly.
got to be Brad.
Right, yeah. John. So I'm, whoever my character is, I'm going in to be that guy. So it's like, I'm not really, like, you have, like, what, maybe, I don't know, depending on when you get the script, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you have a short or limited amount of time to be who that person is, go into character. I wasn't familiar with him, you know what I mean? I'm just going in as me. So it was
Nobody wants to be you. I feel you.
It was a tough transition.
It's different.
But yeah, but it comes with experience. Like, now if I go in there, like, yeah, I'm probably more comfortable than I was
years ago. For sure, yeah. Still get that excitement, though.
Yeah, that anxiety, a little butterflies.
Yeah.
Because you want to go in there as athletes, you still take that part of that mentality that you want to go in there, you want to do your best.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And sometimes that anxiety can take it away, you know, from you being your best because there's just too much anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, the next step, again, like, say, that show Ballers is done, right?
Yes.
You want to move on, do movies, other TV shows, right?
Absolutely.
So now when you're going into the audition room, like, what's your process of saying, okay, I really want to book this, or like, this is not going to be the next Ballers, not a big deal. Like, what's the process now? Like, you just want big time movies? Like, what's that?
I mean, I would love to, you know, do series, do movies, man. You know, whatever opportunity. I think I've done the football thing, so, you know, my big thing is, like, I want to do.
You don't want to do another football.
I want to do something
player,
different.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if that's what I could do, if that's what you want to hire me, I'm down. You know, but it just for me right now is just if it's a good script. And a good cast, because Ballers was such a, you know, he was kind of like a family.
Yeah, yeah.
And they remind me a lot of football because, you know, everybody just has a job and everybody does their job well. And we all come together for one common goal and to make this production good and to create something. But it's just different now because we're not going into the rooms anymore. You still got to do self-tapes.
Yeah,
where,
that's right.
You know, we tape it ourselves, and then we send it to them, and then you hope that they watch it.
Right.
So just so you guys know, that's different than before COVID, right? So, again, before COVID,
pre-COVID,
you have 50 people come into this small room like this to audition.
Right.
But now, again, I guess the producers and directors are taking all these people on self-tape so they can just sit back and look at self-tape.
Yeah.
They can look at 250 people for this role.
Particular role.
Now you're going against 250 instead of 50 people that are here in L.A. That's a big difference.
It is different.
It's like submitting a resume.
Yeah, absolutely.
Literally. Literally, that's what it is.
Yeah, and even the callbacks, like, those are virtual, too.
Okay.
And it's been different. Like, even my friend, she had one the other day, and they had her waiting for, like, an hour. Wow. Wearing some change, yeah. Usually you just gotta just sit there and just
wait on the Zoom.
Kind of wait.
Yeah.
And then they come in and they just, and then
go.
Then it's all yeah. So and it's like, man, you gotta make sure you're there. You gotta stay locked in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, dang, do I go to the bathroom? Can
right,
I can
right.
I,
I'm, like, I'm gonna miss it. You don't wanna miss that.
Yeah, you
don't
wanna miss
seconds.
It. Yeah. So, it's just an adjustment, thing you gotta adjust to during these times.
Right.
And just,
Now, what about directing, writing, and producing, like, in the industry? That's something you want to do as well? You're like, I just want to act right now. I want to focus on my craft.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right now, I just want to act, I want to help create. I mean, I'm working on writing, working on my writing skills.
Yeah,
but I definitely just want to be a part of, the creating process because I feel like acting, you just there and then that's it. You don't really have, no say-so, not unless you, big time.
Right, right.
But, I feel like we all got ideas and I just, I just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't use them, that's cool.
Yeah.
But at least sit down and act like you listen to what I'm saying. Take some notes.
I want to be,
part of that pre-process of what's going on.
Yeah.
And, this character, help maybe break down some characters.
I just
want to learn because I didn't go to acting school.
Right, right.
I didn't go to, the Juilliard and the Yale and all these stuff. So I feel like the best way to learn is on set.
Yeah.
So you didn't take the traditional route.
Yeah, I didn't, because I just didn't think this was where my life was going to go.
Yeah, and I think none of us do. You know
absolutely.
I mean?
That's a great thing about life.
Yeah.
When you look back at it.
Right,
for sure.
And you kind of figure out and you look at how you've carved your path. And it's like how ants build a little anthill. You know what I mean? There's different paths.
Going
different
everywhere.
Holes, everywhere, but it all leads to one place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The entertainment industry is a lot like football, right?
It's yeah.
The more you can do, the longer you stick around. We would say that in NFL locker rooms for years. So that's why it's get into all that. And whatever, writing, producing, directing, anything that you want to create, go do that. And that's always going to lead to that path of doing something else you really want to do anyway. That's how I feel about the industry. It's just, there's so many moving pieces, especially in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like it was 5 years ago, right? The ABCs and CBSs don't rule the world no more, right? It's Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. That's who rules the world.
It's crazy. And I'm sure more on the way, too.
More on the way.
Different streams are, coming in. But, I just hope we just keep creating stuff because, we were talking about earlier, now everybody wants to go back and do the reboots. But I'm like, man, there's so many, talented people out here. And
can Vernon Scripps. Littlefield get his own show?
I mean, I would love to.
Vernon Littlefield, the Ballers. Can he get? Is the character? You know enough about character.
Yes.
Vernon.
Is
that enough to build a show around? Right. Vernon Littlefield?
I mean, yeah, because you said you're working on your writing skills, this and that, and the other. Like I said, maybe he just gave you an idea. I mean,
For sure.
I'm full of great ideas.
Yeah, no,
We put our, we all
put our heads together.
We all can put our head together and figure it out. But I think so, man. Especially with me. And my best friend that was played like Landon Brown, man. Shout out Landon. Mm-hmm. He in power right now, raising Kanan, going crazy.
Okay, nice. But, shout
out. I think everybody says our characters were the most relatable because you always had them guys that was in the league and they had a friend around and a bunch of friends. And you didn't know what they do.
He was the Do Boy, the shout out Do Boy. Hey, you don't let him talk to you like that.
He did more talking to me sometimes.
Yeah.
But I feel like you just really didn't know like too much. Like they just show because like the show, a lot of shows all the time, it just starts now. Like you don't know how we got here, how we grew up, not less whatever they share. But I just feel like with us, like you only knew so much, and it was only 30 minutes. We had a big cast. Of course, Dwayne, he gonna get his shine as he should. Mm-hmm. But I just think it was just so much that we didn't talk about and kind of left on the table, and and I think that's why we could have went more seasons than we did. But like I said, we got five, man. Shout out to Dwayne. He don't even do TV.
I know.
He decided to take a chance, and I really think like it's like that was a good character for him because he's always saving the world. He's just played a superhero, but he's always been that guy. So that character for him, he was just a regular, regular dude, retired player.
So he's trying to do the same with football, trying to save that. And then even just save that league, but in doing that, it's in turn giving guys opportunities.
So many opportunities.
To play at the next level. Whether, again, obviously I think the ultimate goal is like everybody's, it's just like an actor's to be on the big screen or to act for the hottest or, top director. I mean, what Dwayne is doing for the XFL is obviously giving these guys an opportunity to play at the highest level. That's the NFL. If it lands you in the CFL or, the USFL, those are, like I said, those are stepping stones. Those are those tunnels and paths to obviously get to the top, get you to the NFL.
So he's the number one star in the world right now.
Absolutely.
Right? So how was it?
Kevin Hart may have something to say about that.
What's funny?
I always got something to say, but he for sure.
Those two to do all the side little content that they do is hilarious. Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. When you said that, I just, in my head, I just visualized Kevin jumping on this table right now.
Saying, hey, man, what about me, man?
Just to meet our hype.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, what you mean?
But no, tell us, how was it working with the number one, superstar, movie star in the world?
Man, it was crazy, man, because I watched Dwayne wrestling, as a
back
kid.
Back in the day, wow.
So, of course, I'm starstruck, but I'm trying to keep my composure. I'm trying to be cool, but I'm like, man, it's Dwayne. Yeah. We had one scene, and before then, I was cool. I was always, but I never saw him. Even in my first scene, I'm on the phone with him.
Right.
And in the pilot, I never saw him. So when we finally start shooting the actual show, I got a scene with him, and they say action, and I'm just looking in his eyes, balls, and I'm just like,
what?
We at the Biltmore in Miami.
Yeah.
What you doing, D?
Man, I don't
zoned
know.
Out.
I was just like, man. I just say cut. I walked away.
You can't call cut. You ain't the director.
I didn't know that.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
And so Dwayne came over there. He was all like, "Yeah, you don't gotta say cut."
You might get fired for saying cut.
But I didn't know we got a script coordinator.
Right.
That's in the back in the because I'm still learning. I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what continuity was I first started. So when he said, if you got trouble, just say line. And they'll say, and they'll give you, because sometimes you just need that. Because once they say it, then everything come back.
Right.
So I didn't know, but it was a good learning lesson. But I just respecting him because he just was so because he been there, I'm sure. And he was just so.
There's a lot of people that could have been jerks about that. Absolutely.
Yeah, or like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who hired him? Yeah. But he was like real cool. It was kind of one of them little brother, big brother moments.
That's good, man.
You got a vet. Cause I wasn't playing ball, but I was in ball mode. I said, I'm a rookie. Mm-hmm. I got to keep up with these vets. I got to just show that I belong here. Mm-hmm. But he was just like, man, you wouldn't be here if we didn't think you could do it.
That's great.
But trust me, because again, the same thing happens in sports, right?
Yeah.
When you're in your eighth year, and the rookie drops a ball, if you go to him and say, oh, you tripping, get him off the field, that's not going to help the kid. You know what I'm saying?
Put him in that.
That's the situation. The physical aspect, I mean, we know that's part of the game. I think it's the mental is what you're talking about. Because now you get out there.
Which is way more important.
Yeah, you go out there and then you don't remember your plays. That's huge.
And there is no line.
Right. Yeah, there is no line. That's huge. Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you remember the scene or what you were supposed to say?
It was in episode 2, and I'm at the Biltmore, and he wants me to sign with him because he's a financial guy.
Right, he's coming to get you.
He knows I'm having some problem with my money.
Okay, so he's trying to give you some advice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's like, and then we go to the Biltmore, and all my family there, and they got to pay for it. So he's like, man, nah, you need to come because Dwayne gave me his last, like, because I asked him to borrow $250,000 in the first episode. So he gave me his last $250,000 that he has because I just need a little something because, you know.
Just to get the next year.
Yeah, because the season about to start because we always was in the off season. So this is like June. So, you know, training camp about to start in like a month or two.
Right.
Yeah. So I just need a little something for a month. So after that, he's like, all right, I'll give you this money. You're going to come sign with me. So that was basically the scene. Like it was time for me to, you know, because his boss wanted me to, he wanted him to have a contract. Because me and him kind of did like a
little side,
like a handshake.
Side.
And he was like, no, we need this in writing. So.
Right. So you got in there and just froze up.
Just froze. Nothing. Nothing.
Cut.
Yeah. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm just like.
You had to go back and recollect.
You got to get myself together.
Get your thoughts together.
Yeah, but after that, I was good to go.
It was good, right.
I was good.
And again.
Because I was like, man, if somebody going, like, other people believing in me than myself. So I was like, you know what? I just got to.
Right.
You know, like, you keep waiting. I'm here for a reason.
Yeah,
so.
You needed
and the
that.
Thing, what you learned about that is what you explained to us. Like you said. You didn't know what continuity was.
Yeah.
You didn't know
you couldn't say
you
cut.
You didn't say you didn't say cut.
Nothing.
But you start to educate yourself about being an actor, being on set, and who's who or what have you. Mm-hmm. So what is it? The PAs that do out like the lines, like when you like I said, you're in a moment.
A script supervisor, right?
Right. Yeah. They're reading. They have the script.
Some people call them God. You know, whatever you want.
Exactly.
Because line comes from nowhere.
They're behind the scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go. We're doing rehearsing a line. I'm like. Line,
yeah.
And then next thing you know, they start.
Yeah,
come from
your line.
Now I know, like, who the script coordinator?
Yeah,
that's one of the first people I meet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people just always watching. Even one dude, I had a scene, and I actually get the check from Dwayne, and the whole time getting it with my left hand, and one time I get it with my right hand.
Mm-hmm. Continuity,
you're talking about. Yeah, that angle right from the camera and all that matters.
And I was like, you know, you locked in, you like, for real, I was like, I could have sworn, you know, I grabbed my left hand, but you in it, so you don't know what's going on.
Right,
but it was a learning lesson. I would go up there and watch all the time too, even when I wasn't working. I just love just being around the atmosphere, just being on set. You know, everybody just
soaking
treat
up knowledge.
You good. Yeah, soaking knowledge, and then I would see like Dwayne and like you know Andy Garcia was on season one time, and I would see all these. People I looked up to, and they would make mistakes. You know, we all make mistakes.
They make mistakes.
And was that good for you to see them make mistakes and make you come like, okay, man, I'm human because
they're human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, we're watching TV as an audience. You're like, they don't make any mistakes because they don't know behind the scenes.
They did 50 takes.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Multiple takes. And what I learned the most is just what you do after that mistake. You know, same with ball. You know, my coach always say, one snap and clear, you know, good and bad play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once you make that mistake or you make a bad play, you know, now you're in your head, now you make another bad play,
Don't dwell on it. That's basically what you got to move on.
Yep. People get tongue-tied, you know, forget a line, you know, it happens. It's life. So
it
was good to see because, like, before acting, going into it, I thought, it was like, you know, reality TV or like Saturday Night Live. I thought it was all
live. It's live. You thought it was
I thought it was all live. Yeah. Everybody would be perfect. Like, there was no takes.
No.
But now, like, man, it's so many takes now. Like, you get over it. Like, we're not finished yet. Like, it's 10 times.
Right, so you worked with The Rock for 5 years.
Yes.
What's the best piece of advice he gave you within those 5 years?
So,
again, we know he's a good guy. We know he's a good character guy on and off.
Right.
You know.
I mean, a lot of time, I mean, honestly, like, it was just more just watching him, man, just seeing how he just treated everybody. You know, he was one of the biggest stars
in
the world.
Which is huge in this business. Like you said, there's the stars are so big, they don't treat, you know, the grip guys with respect. They don't treat the, you know, the backup actors. They don't treat them with respect, right? Yeah. So for Rock to do that, that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's just, but it goes unnoticed.
He was so humble. I think just seeing his humility, that's what I learned the most. Because at this time, you know, he was who he was.
Right.
And just seeing how he treated everybody the same. And I think going in, you hear stuff about movie stars or TV stars that they just, you know, prima donnas or they think they this or that.
Don't talk to them.
Yeah, what like, they don't take no pictures or autographs.
Right.
Or, I want all red, you know, red jelly beans or whatever. Yeah. But nah, he was so cool, man. It was good for me because going to this show, HBO with The Rock, you know, you get big headed.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to you, you know, share your experience with us and, you know, our Get Your Popcorn Ready audience, I think that advice that you're sharing, I think you experienced it that first time that you went, you know, you guys went into action together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Went on the scene. And you didn't know your line, and you called cut.
Yeah.
And then you went off to the side, and he offered that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what you're talking about, that humility. He offered that then. I think that was probably the first time, you know, again, you realize and you go back and you reflect and like, man, as you just said, like, yo, a lot of these, you know, A-list actors, they don't have to do that.
Right.
You know, he could have gone back to the director and like, yo, who is this?
Get this dude out of here.
Like, who is this big kid right here? Like,
quick.
Real quick.
I mean? Yeah, man. Yeah, just to see how he treated, you know, everybody the same.
Right.
And like you said, he didn't say nothing to me. He could have just let me just be in my own. You know,
let you figure it out on your own.
Let you crash and burn.
Sometimes the OGs, they be like that. Ain't nobody do that for me.
Ain't nobody help me out.
Ain't nobody help me. But, yeah, just, you know, he's easy to work with, I seen, too. Mm-hmm. And I learned his business. If he's easy to work with and you kind, you know, it'll take you places for sure.
Absolutely.
Listen to that, man. Be kind. It'll take you places, dog.
Yeah. Don't be nice. Be kind.
That's what I'm saying. What's the goal? Let's say, is it a Marvel movie? Is it playing, you know, just a character?
What's your ultimate goal
Optimal? Character. Like, what's that Oscar or $500 million at the box office? Ooh. And you can only do one. Because they don't do both. Oscar movies don't do $500 million.
They've already done that. Notorious B.I.G. They've already done that.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. Maybe his brother. He's got a brother.
Big Little Brother. Big Little Brother.
He ain't know. He's
Notorious Big Little Brother.
Man, for real. Man, you know what? I just want to be on great projects. Mm-hmm. I'm just with great people. I'm all about quality more than quantity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm just on great projects with a great script and just a good vibe, man, and we have a good time. That's
what's your dream script?
I mean, I love Marvel. So you said Marvel. Okay. I love to be on a Marvel character.
Me too. I'm with you on that.
Man, yeah.
No, I'm being this serious.
I know you look like a
That's
Marvel
fine.
Character
whatever
with
you
your stone
whatever
face.
You peg me as, trust me, I'm going to embrace it.
As well, you should. You
I'm
have gonna, no choice. That's
I'm
the
going
only
to
face
embrace
you have.
It. Man, I have the body of a Marvel, you know, character.
Of a marble. That's what you have. Go ahead.
You know where I'm going. Marble with that shiny forehead?
Yes.
Boy, you know absolutely. A marble is shiny. You know a marble is really shiny. Now look at all that forehead.
So I'm sorry. Yeah, we got it.
Nah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it, man. Just, you know, Marvel. I mean, shoot. Whoever want to rock with me, I want to rock with you.
Who would you want to... like have a scene beside.
Like a dream like cast.
A dream cast. Like that. Like male actor, who would you want to have let's set up the scene for, right? Here's the scene. Yeah. Okay, you're about to save the world. You're in your little blue suit, whatever, with the hammer, about to, you know, do the thing.
Yeah.
And your line is, so what are we going to do now? And then your guy who you want to be acting with is over here. He's like, whatever you want to do, bro.
Man.
Who do you want that to be?
Yeah, who
do you
want that to be? Who
are you going to save the world with?
Sure. Will Ferrell.
Really?
Will Ferrell? Now, that's hilarious.
Man,
I love
about
it.
This piece,
nobody's going to think
that's
that.
That's comedy.
Right?
That's straight comedy right there.
So Marvel, you need to do a comedy.
Will
comedy.
Ferrell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't expect that.
There you go.
Ferrell.
I like it.
But he's already on top of the world. Give somebody else a chance.
He's giving himself a chance. He needs
Will
to get
Ferrell?
On top of the world. Okay.
Man, come on.
Okay, let's go. Same scene.
Okay.
I'm
right?
just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, we gotta go save the world.
But now it's a female over there.
Female?
Yeah, baby. Ooh. Let's save the world. And this is your romantic
I gotta go Margot
love
Robbie.
Interest.
Margot, that's one right there.
That's the scene. See,
that's one right
you wanna
there.
You want to go save the world with Margot Robbie.
Yeah, we can do anything. It don't matter.
That's what's up.
We can save the world, go get dinner.
Whatever you want to do. We can save dinner. That's what we
can do. We can die, it don't matter. Together.
Long as I die with Margot Robbie.
No, we always die in movies. No, don't kill yourself yet. He's like, we always the first to die.
Margot Robbie, you go die is what you say.
No, we always die.
You right. We going to the afterlife.
You go to the afterlife?
Yeah, we're going to the metaverse.
Yeah, we in different metaverse.
To the metaverse.
Yeah. You're going to part two.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's what's up.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So again, that's, you know,
yeah, you got to throw it out there. You got to throw
Marvel,
it out there.
Right? So yeah. let's go to something like real, like something, again, go football. Sports movie. Let's go sports movie. Not Blindside, but, you know, something, a sports movie with character. Ryan, you have, you have these scenes where you have to, give it up, right? You have to give up your soul. You got to be... You don't have to cry. I never say you have to cry as an actor, but you have to show this pain, right?
Yeah.
Now, who are you going to sit across from the table for that actor? Because it's a different type of acting.
I got a scene for you.
What's the scene?
Okay, the opposite guy you're dialoguing with, mm-hmm. he's your coach. Mm-hmm. Your coach okay. during the season, y'all going through the season,
okay. mm-hmm.
and he's stricken. He comes up with
kidney cancer.
He needs a kidney.
I like it.
He needs a kidney.
Okay.
That's your coach. You have a kidney to match.
Ooh. Who's the coach?
Who's that coach?
Dang.
Who you go give up your kidney for?
Ooh, yeah. This is like some Friday Night Lights type stuff.
Matter of fact, you got to give it up.
Oh, boom. Man.
here's the line. Here's the line. Coach, I don't want to, but I know I have to.
Like, you're right? My guy.
You're my guy. I don't want to, but I know I have to.
And okay. This is going to save you.
All right. Yeah. So we have in 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, Coach, I really don't want to, but here you go. Here you go, Coach.
Now, who's that guy?
Who'd you
give your kidney to?
Oh, you know... I mean,
who's that coach?
And it can't be Will Ferrell this time.
Yeah, no, I can't. I'm just trying to think because it's already like the Denzels.
And
the Billy Bob Thornton. I'm trying to.
Billy Bob's a killer.
I mean, Jamie Foxx can play. I think Jamie Foxx would be a good coach.
He could be a good coach.
Yeah,
I think so.
Anything,
yeah.
Who else like a good coach?
Leo. I like Leonardo.
Killer.
I ain't never seen him as no football coach.
He could do anything. Leonardo.
He could do anything.
He can save the Titanic. He could save
Yeah, that's true.
Season.
That's right, true.
But now you got to save him. You're his Titanic. You know what I mean? You got to save him.
Yeah.
It's a role reversal.
Yeah.
Like, he on his last He got a week to live.
Chris Pratt. I think Chris Pratt could be a good coach.
Pratt's a killer.
Okay. Yeah. As long as somebody, like, professionally experienced, because... Mm-hmm. You know, they got to help me get to that, too. You know?
Yeah.
I got to see they really need a kidney.
Okay, let's go back to that needing help, right? Because, again, a lot of people after 5 years in the league, you're like, I got this thing figured out. I don't need help, right? Mm-hmm. After 5 years, are you going to acting classes? Like, what are you doing to
enhance
your craft?
Yeah.
Because you're far away. You haven't got it to 20 years yet.
You want
to get to 20.
Yeah, absolutely,
what do you
do
on the side to do that?
Yeah, I go to class still. I go to, like, a scene study class,
okay.
And then always getting coaching for my auditions because I'm the type that I need, you know, I think playing sports, you need direction.
Yeah, yeah.
You need
coaching. Direction as athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. I need it, yeah, because sometimes I don't have all the answers. You know, you think, like, you making this choice or you think that, you know, the timing is right or it's comedy and it sounds good in your head or in the mirror, then you get in front and it's just, you know, you miss little things. So, yeah, I'm always learning, man. I'm always seeking knowledge. always watching movies, mm-hmm. reading scripts.
Okay.
You know, going to class when I can. You know, yeah, just any. And then I'm always just studying people too, because I feel like, to me, I like to be a natural actor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in certain situations, I just like to see what other people do, like when they mad or when they sad or they happy, or even myself.
Yeah.
You know what I do, because I feel like, you know, somebody's gonna always relate. Like, damn, I do that
who is that actor for you that you feel like you emulate or you want to portray, or you feel like he has some similar quality as, or you would like to portray as a character?
I mean, I would hope to like have my own,
right? Yeah, develop
my
own
thing. But I love, like you said earlier, I love Jamie because he just can do so much.
Yeah, he's a chameleon.
Very few people can do what Jamie Foxx can do.
Yeah, like he can do. Right. He could be serious. He could be funny. Yeah. You know,
it's a hard craft.
Yeah, it's just he could put on, you know, different hats, and I feel like nobody give him his flowers. They do, but I just feel like he's just so talented. Like him and Leonardo as well, and Johnny Depp. You know, them dudes can do
legends, killers,
like legends. And some of them didn't even go to, like, I'm not saying them. I think Leo didn't, but they didn't even go to acting class like that. They just learned, you know, on the fly. And I think sometimes that's the best way too.
Yeah, because I just want people to understand. Like, again, after you're in it, you don't just stop and say, you know, I'm just gonna sit around and wait for it to happen. Like, no, the more you work on your craft, the more the universe is gonna bless you with the opportunities.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, if I were, again, young actor, advice I would give: learn accents. Mm. You know, it's like that's all. If you can do accents and you're an African-American actor, you will work forever.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
Why everybody is coming over here.
From London,
from, you know, getting all these roles. It's like, that's just, you have to work on those things. It's like, oh, I'm just going to be, that. You don't want to just be a football player, right? I don't want to play a football character. I want to play some of these characters that the industry looks at as, wow, he can really do it.
Yeah, you just got to just, you know, my thing always when I go in there audition, just, you know, always do my best and just, you know, open up their eyes. Maybe they didn't see somebody like me being this person, but, you know.
Being versatile, you know what I mean? Yeah, just like being like, obviously, I'm use football terms because we can relate to that. It's just like, you know, receiver, being not just learning your position, but learning what the tight end does.
Or the slot.
Just like, you know what I mean? You gotta, in a sense, you got to diversify your portfolio.
Gotcha.
Diversify your
portfolio. The more you can do, the longer you stick around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure, man.
That's awesome, man.
And even like stuff like this, watching y'all podcasts, other podcasts, just hear like what my other peers is going through. Because sometimes you think like, man, you know, it's a tough business. It's just competitive as football, a lot of rejection.
Yep.
I mean, you just hear other people, you know, their story and how they got to where they are. You just, you know, outside looking in, you think like they, you know, they did this, they did that. Yeah. But, you know, they going through the process.
Yeah, we all go through those, journey. You know, those type of deals.
Have you ever went to an audition like, I really wanted that? Like, what's the number one audition like you really wanted but you didn't get?
Man, sure, everyone.
Right.
Everyone.
Some
like,
of you going like, yo, this is me. If I get this, perfect I'm going to kill it.
It's perfect for me.
I think, I was close on, I did American Underdog with Kurt Warner's story.
Yeah.
And I was close on that. And, I thought it was like, you know, it would have been a good, fun part, man. But, you know, sometimes it's not meant for you, it's meant for the other person.
Very true.
And you don't know what they're going through. But, you know, I'm just always going to compete and do what I can.
Yeah.
And I'm learning too. Maybe it's not for this. Down the line.
Because it's a casting director. You want to see
them.
Yeah,
they do different stuff.
They doing 10 movies a
year. They might think of you.
Yep.
Or at least just get the opportunity, because a lot of people, they don't get to audition. They don't get in those rooms. And, you know, that's what I would say. Ballers helped me to get in these rooms and get in front of people.
Right.
Absolutely. So how's your team built, right? Manager, agent, lawyer. Like, how'd you build your team after you got Balls? Of course, everybody like, let me represent you now. Like, where was y'all when I needed y'all, you know?
I mean, at first, I didn't have anything. I didn't have no manager, no agent. I got my opportunity through my coaches at UCLA.
Okay.
So it was crazy. And then once I got that, I got my lawyer first, because that's 5%. So, and that's cheaper.
Agent and manager,
they 10. So over time, I got a manager first, then I got my agent, and now I'm on my second agent. Cause, you know,
but you got the role first, because a lot of people out there come out to L.A. saying, yo, I need an agent, I need a manager. Like, no, you need to go book something.
Yeah,
go work on that.
Everybody's story different.
True,
You know, if you got somebody that you think that is good and, you know, they're going to fight for you, but I think anybody going to fight for you more than you fight for yourself. But at my time, yeah, I got the job first. Then I got the team. But, you know, everybody's like, oh, that's backwards. But, I mean, it's your
– It worked out.
It don't matter what it is, whatever it worked out for you. But, yeah, I got my lawyer first, and I got my manager. Then I got my agent. And then, of course, with them, they start giving me more opportunities because now I finally – when I did Ballers, I was like, okay, I really want to do this. Like, this, you know, I got the bug, so they say. And I was like, let me work on getting my team. And then I got a PR a little bit. Like during Ballers, but I feel like, you know, sometimes if you like, I'm always working for me. Like I said, I'm always meeting folks, I'm always networking, and you know, a lot of times they rather sometimes deal with you than your team. Sometimes.
Right, the agent.
True. But I mean, there's
they try to cut the middleman out.
But at some point you got to bring them in because you start talking about the money and negotiation.
Yeah, that ain't
the big words, and you got to talk to them.
Yeah, already.
But a lot of times, like I did a movie during COVID, Midnight in Switchgrass, and I knew the director, and he like kind of, you know, we had a relationship, and he hit me and was, you know, I kind of had to come in, but I didn't even have to audition for that. He just like, do you want to do it? And I read it, and I was like, yeah, I'm down. Like,
perfect.
It's COVID. I ain't doing too much these days.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how it is, too. But you know, you got to just meet people, and then, you know, the stars align.
Let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram, Donovan W. Carter, Twitch, DC So Fly, and Twitter, DC So Fly as well. Yeah, I be gaming a little bit on Twitch, so yeah, check
it
out.
There it is. Check him out. Vernon Littlefield from Ballers is in the building. Yeah, Donovan Carter, Popcorn Ready Podcast.
Yeah.